Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Dvar Torah with Reb T, the show where we talk a few minutes on the Parsha of the week with a few practical lessons to keep. We made it to the giving of the Torah from Hashem, the giving of the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, where they're encamped around Har Sinai, and Hashem gives to us the crux, the Ten Commandments, the main focal points to think about and to practice, and whereby we could branch out to the other 613 mitzvos of the Torah. Looking at the Parsha, the sources come from Chabad.org, but looking at the Parsha, if we look at 19:2, we look at Yud Tet Bet, it says that they camped in the desert. You know, it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, the Jewish people encamped around the mountain. They camped in the desert. But what is important about this phrase? What can we learn from this phrase? Why use such a phrase like this? Why was it important to know that the Jews were in the desert now? We already know that they've been traveling. They're there for 40 years. That happens later. Why it's 40 years? But we already know they're in the desert. So why say that they're camping in the desert? So the Mechilta Derashbi says, in the ownerless wilderness was the Torah given to the people of Israel. For if it were given in the land of Israel, the residents of the land of Israel would say it is ours. And if it were given in some other place, the residents of that place would say it is ours. Therefore, it was given in the wilderness so that anyone who wishes to acquire it may acquire it. The Pesikta Derev Kahana says, why was the Torah given in the desert? To teach us that if a person does not surrender himself to it like the desert, he cannot merit the words of Torah. And to teach us that just as the desert is endless, so is the Torah without end. It brings to mind the Mishnah Perkei Avos that says, Afochba dekulaba, you have to delve in it, because there's so much in it. And the other Mishnah Perkei Avos that talks about how we have to start the objects, we have to start the learning, start the actions, even though we're not required to finish it. But you're not able to be disregarded from it. You're not able to say that you're not able to sway away from it. You have to do what you can. You have to start, even though you might not finish, you have to do as much as you can. There's thousands of years of Torah learning and sages that could teach us so much, but we have to at least try. We have to start, even if we don't finish, because we have to do what we can to learn what we can. I apologize for the sounds in the background, always crazy sounds in the house and the like. But we also have to know that there is the ability to do what we can to learn the Torah, and we have to do anything we can, even if it's not able to learn everything. It's interesting to think about where the Torah was given. It could have been given anywhere in the world, especially our holy land of Israel. However, as it talks about above, we said before, Hashem specifically wanted to give the Torah to us in the ownerless abyss of the desert so that no one place can lay claim to it. Hashem did not want the Torah to be tied to a specific zone, but that it travels with us where we go if we toil at it. As the verse explains, if we grab hold onto it, the Torah, it will be a living tree for us. It will be an elixir for us of life. Eitz chayim hi lamachazikim ba. You know, you grab onto it, it's a living tree, it's a living organism. The Torah is the blueprint that Hashem made the world out of. Hashem thought about what to do. He looked in the Torah and then he made the world. That's how we see that the world was coming about, because of the Torah as the blueprint. On the flip side, we cannot and should not study the Torah in the spiritual desert devoid of lush Torah surroundings or environment. We should take our Torah with us everywhere, but our home base should be one saturated with a firm basis of Torah embedded in our veins and within our community. As the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos teaches us in 6:9 in Perek Vav Mishnah Tet, said Rabbi Yossi, the son of Kisma, once I was traveling and I encountered a man. He greeted me and I returned his greeting. Said he to me, Rabbi, where are you from? Said I to him, from a great city of sages and scholars am I. Said he to me, Rabbi, would you like to dwell with us in our place? I will give you a million dinars of gold, precious stones, and pearls. Said I to him, if you were to give me all the silver, gold, precious stones, and pearls in the world, I would not dwell anywhere but in a place of Torah. Thus we learn The Torah was given to us specifically in no man's land, as it must come with us everywhere we go, wherever we travel, and in whatever we do. Again, I apologize about the sounds in the background. That's why we're speaking a little louder than usual. Additionally, we cannot live and reside in a spiritually empty town devoid of Torah, but one that is rich with the flowing of Torah teachings and acts of chesed. We have to make sure when we think about a community we want to live in, if we're here in Golis, outside of Israel, if we're in Israel, we have to live in a community, we have to live in a neighborhood that is flowing with Torah teachings, that is flowing with shiurim, flowing with chavrusas, flowing with the ability to be involved in Torah and to be involved in chesed. It should be a town, it should be a shul, it should be a base medrash, base kinesis, and there should be organizations where you can do what you can to help the world. We always talk about tikkun olam, trying to help the world, fix the world. But if you're living in a community that is devoid of such things, that is not good. Again, another Mishnah Perek of us tells us, "V'makom she'ein ish hishtadali yos ish." In a place when there is no man, you have to stand up to be a man. But that can't be if it's a spiritually devoid place and it's a chesed devoid place where there's nothing there. You gotta have a place that there is Torah, there is chesed. Maybe there's a thing or two that might be lacking that you could step up and you could start and you could do. But that should be in addition to what is already there. When we're living in Golis, when we're living in different areas of the world, even in Israel, without the Beis HaMikdash or Mashiach, which should speedily come in our days, we should make sure to take the Torah with us. We got the Torah in no man's land. We take it with us wherever we go, in all different areas of land, in no man's land. We take it on the way to work. We should take it to work. We should learn it at work, provided it's on breaks and whatnot, and we do all our other responsibilities. We should take it with us home. We should take it with us everywhere we go. On the way, as we travel on the road, like the Mishnah Perkei Avos said, when we're traveling on the road, and we should also reside and live in a place that is full of Torah, has so much classes, has so much chesed, and so much ability to do good, that the Torah is with us wherever we go. So the Torah is given to us in the desert, and you should also make sure to surrender yourself, have no ego, have no arrogance, so you could be able to merit to really receive the Torah properly. If someone's arrogant and worships himself, he has no room for anyone else, God forbid, no room for God himself, God forbid. You have to be able to surrender yourself for that. And you realize that you should acquire it wherever you go. We take it with us wherever we go. So we take it with us everywhere we go, and we should have the home base that it's full of Torah as well. Join us next time as we talk here on the Audio DT with Reb T.